Hey guys, today I'm with Vincent Biret.
Hi.
Hi Vincent, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm SharePoint and now Office Server and Services MVP for 2 years. And I'm also a product team tech lead at Negotium Technologies. So my role is to make sure we're building products and services the right way so we don't make any technical mistakes or things like that in our products.
Cool. So you talk about products. So today we will talk about technical stuff. So
yes.
It's exciting stuff about DevOps, right? And we talk about Osanic. So can you talk me about just a quick marketing introduction of the products?
Sure. Osanic is a product for SharePoint, and what it does, it helps you managing multilingual situations for you in SharePoint. So SharePoint is a product of Microsoft, for those of you who don't know it. And what it does, SharePoint, is it allows you to create portals, collaboration sites, and things like that. But when you want to interact with people speaking different languages, it's not that great. So what we do is we help you to provide portals, collaboration environments, and so on in multiple languages so everybody can interact easily. For example, if you're speaking Spanish and I'm speaking only English, we don't have any barrier together.
No.
So our product is something you install on top of SharePoint and which allows you to manage that.
Cool. So exciting stuff, because we will talk about DevOps with SharePoint. So that's cool. It's for the on-premises environment. So
right now,
so
yes.
It will be. It's a WSP solution, right?
Yes.
And so now behind the scene, how you manage that? Is it a C# solution, right?
Yes. So for those of you who do SharePoint development, when we do solutions, you guys know that we have to stick with the SharePoint stack, meaning we have to use the same version of a .NET runtime and the same abilities of this runtime. So SharePoint 2013 is running .NET 4.5, mm-hmm. So we're using that, and we're developing in C#, and we're also using a lot of JavaScript. So this is our technical stack, SharePoint, .NET 4.5, JavaScript.
Okay, and you are using Visual Studio Team Services, right?
Yes, and as a matter of tools, we mostly use Visual Studio Team Services and behind the scene to manage our work, code, build, test, release, and so on and so on and so on.
Perfect. So first thing first, about the planification, right? So you have a backlog, I guess?
Yes, I'm going to show you in a few seconds.
Okay, perfect. So here you log in all your bugs, all your new features, actual features, right?
Yes.
So
our backlog, you can, for those of you who are not familiar with Scrum, mm-hmm. basically it's a huge to-do list, all the things we might or might not at some point mm-hmm. Change or add to the product. So every time we have an idea of something the product should do or should do it differently, mm-hmm. we log it into that. Then we separate PBIs from bugs for to help us like know what it's what, but basically this is what it is. So every time the product owner or any member of a team or a stakeholder or a customer mm-hmm. has an idea or has some feedback and so on, we log back into the backlog. And the role of a product owner is to make sure this has enough information and has enough details, the mockups, the any diagram, anything we could use to develop properly the thing, is in the backlog. Once that is that, is done, the product owner switches that to from new to approved, and then also plays on the prioritization of the things he wants to deliver first, then and after. And once we have that, the team during the sprint planning and so on commits to delivering something at the end of the sprint. So this is where we switch it to committed, and then we switch it to done once we have developed the thing and so on.
Okay, perfect. So let's take, for example, someone working on the update, the product logo in the software
yes.
documentation.
So as you can see, here we have a PBI because the marketing team came out with a brand new logo for the product, which mm-hmm. is awesome. But what it means is we have to update it everywhere, mm-hmm. in the views, in the installer, in the documentation. So that's a bunch of work to do. And basically what we did is we estimated the work, and we actually studied that on last sprint, which means it's technically debt. So we're not quite on time on our sprint. And once we have done that, once we have committed, we can have it, we can see it on the sprint view, the current sprint view here. And you will see all the tasks attached to this item. So currently we still have only the documentation to update.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, one of our developers, is working on that. So this is why the task is in progress. Every day he updates the time left to do and so on. So we can have a clear idea of the situation of a current sprint. Are we on time? Are we late? What's going on? And so on and so on.
Okay, perfect. So now Jeff working on this feature or item, let's say item.
Uh-huh.
So now he committed some code or he built something on your own machine.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that? So using a TFS version control, right?
Yes, not exactly TFS version control anymore, but here on the second tab you can see code.
Okay.
And basically it will show you all the code you have in Team Foundation Services.
It's a code repository, right?
Yes, yeah. All the repositories actually, because we have multiple repositories on this project.
Okay.
Just that you know, guys, Oceanic has been a product for 10 years now, so we have new things, but we also have a lot of legacy.
Yeah,
so as we want to keep supporting our customers, our old customers, I would say, we also want to move forward and have the new DevOps trends, have a new continuous integration, and so on.
Okay.
And currently also we are supporting two versions of Oceanic, one running on SharePoint 2010, the other one running on 2013. And those are two really different code bases because we've redeveloped the whole product from 2010 to 2013. So all the legacy stuff is on TFS version control,
mm-hmm.
but all the new stuff, I would say, is on Git. So it's still Visual Studio Team Services, which is a TFS, but as a service on Azure behind the scene,
mm-hmm.
but it's serving as a Git repository,
okay,
which
perfect.
Means we can use Git with that.
And with the branch features.
And yeah, and because we're using Git, we are also using a Git flow methodology.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a standardization of the way you are going to manage your branch.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to fix a bug, I will create a branch for a bug fix. If I want to implement a new feature, I will create a feature branch.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a hot fix because a customer called me and say, okay, this is in production, this is blowing up, you need to fix that ASAP,
uh-huh.
I can also create a hotfix, and you can go to Git flow cheat sheet, and it will show you the whole process on what is going to merge where and so on, and why they do that. But the main idea behind that is to enable developers to quickly switch context without friction when they work. For example, Jeff is working on the logo. If I call him and I say, okay, I need a bug fix right now, you will simply start a new branch based on the developed sources,
mm-hmm.
fix the bug, and then commit that and merge that back.
Cool.
What it means is when he merges this branch back, he won't merge back the whole logo thing he was working on previously because it's on another branch. So we don't have any friction of putting back things we didn't want, or having things we don't want in our current branch, or
mm-hmm.
having a mess and having difficulties like separating what we're doing and switching easily.
Cool. So let's say now Jeff done on his machine, it's
mm-hmm.
work on my machine. I'm Jeff. I'm finishing my just finished my the new feature, the logo work fine.
Yep.
Now I guess you have some, I don't know, pull request or merge thing. You can say, okay, I want to test the feature. I want to build
uh-huh.
this thing
sure.
and deploy that. To
so, of course, the developer is able to build on his local machine to do a F5 debug like for
yeah.
the Visual Studio world like everybody. But once that is done, because he works in a team, he needs to also push his code. And then we will have some more.
He writes some unit test also?
yes. Not on this project, but yes, soon.
Yeah.
Because unit testing in SharePoint, as you know, might be complicated sometimes. But yeah, my idea, my point was we have standardized the way we produce the builds and the things we ship to the customers. Because before that, what we used to do is we used to build on one developer's machine and send that to a customer.
Yeah, the WSP customer.
Deploy that, and we'll see if it works.
Yeah.
And because we want to save time, because we want to make sure the outcome is exactly the same every time, because we want to have some testing and QA processes and so on. We need to formalize that and to standardize that, and if possible, to automate that. That's what we've done with the build definition. Thanks. So as I told you guys, we have a lot of legacy. I won't talk about these ones because these ones are legacy. Yep. The 5.4 is for the 2010 version. Okay. The next is only for me to play.
Yeah.
But what matters today is develop and master.
Okay.
Developed is plugged on the develop branch of our repository.
Okay.
Master on the master branch of our repository. Okay. So every time, so you're dev, you've done your feature, you've merged that back to the develop branch.
Mm-hmm.
What it's going to do, it's going to tick a new build. And as you can see, we can make the difference, we can tell the difference between automated builds and the one triggered automatically, I mean, and the one triggered manually, because of this logo, the little arrow with two boxes. And
when you said tick, it's because Jeff, the manager, just say hey,
triggered. Yeah,
yeah. He just pushed the code on the repository, and you activated the
continuous integration.
The continuous integration.
So,
and yeah, you have some magic stuff behind this.
Yeah, magic stuff. I'm gonna show you that.
Yeah, I'm really interested with the SharePoint world, or you can manage a build definition.
So, what you have to know, guys, everything is more complicated to do in SharePoint. So if we've done that, I'm pretty sure you can do that whatever you're building.
You're right. That's the thing. If you can do that with SharePoint,
yes,
you can do that for everything, right?
Yes, basically. So if I deal with the build definition, the way it works is it's just a bunch of tasks running one after one another.
Okay.
And what we do here, if we have PowerShell tasks, for example. These ones are to increment assembly versions everywhere and so on. And then we have a Visual Studio build. So it's going to take the solution, build the whole thing, package, make the WSPs as you know it, and so on. Then we have a step indexing to produce the debugging symbols, also a bunch of PowerShell. And then we have this step which gathers the outcome and saves it somewhere because you don't want to lose it, right? So this is how you do that. And in terms of trigger, what we were just talking about here, I've enabled the continuous integration. So what it means here, every time somebody commits something to a develop branch, it will create a new build automatically.
Perfect.
No, not even one single click needed.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So now you have this famous artifact, right? So the final, the last version of the WSP. And again, just before that, we saw a lot of PowerShell stuff. So I guess you are using your own adjunct, right?
Yes. So before I forget about the task thing, the great thing here is you have tons of steps here. We're doing Visual Studio and SharePoint, but you can do Android, you can do Xamarin, you can do Ant, Azure.
That's the thing. Go on the build section. I really like to show that. The first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The first thing, it's no even matter about Microsoft, right?
Nope. Yeah.
It's only open source stuff. So that's the proof Microsoft changed, right?
Yeah.
And I really like to show that. Hey, guys, I just click on this add task, add build step, and as you can see, it's JavaScript stuff, Node.js, or Java.
Gulp.
We are
using a lot of Gulp on our projects, but so you have everything here.
And again, if you don't have what you're searching for, you can run your own custom script, as you did here, with your own agent, with PowerShell, or let's say if you're using Linux, with a bash script or whatever.
Yep, that's right. And that just reminded me something that all the tasks are open source. So if there is something that you need and you think like a lot of person might need, you can go to github.com/vso-agent-tasks, I think, if I'm right. And you can make a pull request and add your own task.
Let's say, for example, Docker is a buzzword right now. So let's say you wanted your own task to deploy something on Docker. On Docker Hub, you can deploy your own
maybe
task.
Maybe they already have it.
No, not yet.
Okay.
It's coming.
Soon. Okay.
That's the idea, right? If
you
have a custom compiler or something, you want your own thing, you can do that.
Right. So to get back at the agents, here, by default, when you go to the settings, the control panel, you will, because we're using Visual Studio Team Services, which is, again, only Team Foundation are, but
cloud-based.
Cloud-based, right? By default, what you will see is only the hosted entry. And this is what? This is build machines maintained by Microsoft with all the bits, Visual Studio, Xamarin, Android, SharePoint, blah, blah, blah. And they maintain it, patch it, host it for you, and they only rent it to you as a build minutes. So if your build takes like 5 minutes to build, they will bill you for 5 minutes. The great thing about that is they give you for free 4 hours amounts.
Yeah, 240 minutes for 5 hours, for free. Yeah.
For free.
So you can easily try and maybe have a little project in production with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also deploy one custom agent with the free edition.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. With free edition. And because we're doing SharePoint stuff, SharePoint Enterprise stuff, what we need to do is we needed to have our own build machine. So we have build machines either on Azure or on our own dev cluster.
On-premises environment.
On-premises environment, thanks. We have machines that we host, we run, we patch, we install the bits and so on. And what we only need to do to join them to that is to run the PowerShell configuration script, and it will configure everything for you.
And that's the thing, really interesting, and that's the DevOps thing that I guess, and I'm pretty sure you did, but you set up the continuous delivery. So with this famous pipeline, let's imagine you have this idea or you want to change the logo. So you push your code, it builds the artifact, the famous WSP, it can automatically push this WSP on your custom machine with your own environment, with your custom SharePoint environment.
Exactly.
And maybe you can also say, this one is my client A, client B, or this kind of configuration.
That's exactly what we've done. So we see other agents here, and these ones, so what we've decided to do is have a build. So the things like transforming the codes to bits on one part, and then have a release, so the thing deploying the bits to one machine on another part. We don't want to mix the two things because maintaining a machine with SharePoint bits, only the bits, is very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Maintaining a whole SharePoint farm is a bit more complicated.
So especially if you want to simulate some document on it and some other solution on it.
Plus, especially if you do a lot of installation. That's SharePoint doesn't like that. Anyways, so here we can see we have two other agents.
Mm-hmm.
One is QA, so it's our QA farm, obviously.
Yeah.
And one is demo for us. Demo is our production farm because that's the farm that the sales rep are going to use to make demonstration to our soon-to-be customers.
Yeah.
So we don't want to break this one, right?
Okay.
So
just quick question before we go, we follow the discussion. With this thing, how many times you can deploy a new stuff, or how many times you
per
can
day?
Change your code? Yeah, per day.
It's a matter of how fast are my machines. I mean, I can do that 1,000 times a day. On average, I would say when I have all the developers, like nobody on vacations and so on, we build like maybe 5 to 10 times a day.
So
build. I mean,
that's the thing. If you have an idea, a crazy idea as a developer, you can test very quickly your idea on production, right?
Yeah,
so
that's and we have very quickly feedback. Did we break anything? Are the performance degraded? Is it deploying properly, and so on and so on.
Perfect.
So the next thing I wanted to show you guys is the release part here. So it's all in red because I'm playing with that currently, so don't mind it. But the release part is also exactly the same ID.
Yeah.
Here you have a bunch of environments, and then for each environment you have a bunch of tasks. Here we just run a bunch of PowerShell because SharePoint works great with PowerShell. And the great thing about it is also we can assign approvers for each environment. So here, Hamed, for example, he's our QA person, QA responsible.
Okay.
So he gets to decide whether he wants to build on his platform or not. Because
he can approve or reject
a specific build. So every time we check in, it will build automatically. When the build is ready, it will create a new release automatically, and then Ahmed says, okay, I want it or I don't want it, depending on what's inside of it. And something I didn't show you is here, for example, if you click on the details, you should have, well, not this one because it's a bunch of tests, but
he rejected some.
We are trying.
It's a tough guy.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. Sometimes he doesn't want a lot of things. So here we don't have, well, that's because I'm doing a bunch of tests. But basically, it should list up all the work items, all the commits, and so on. And it does the same thing on the build. So every time you see a build, every time you see a release, you have a whole detail on the thing.
Awesome. So thank you very much, Vincent.
You're welcome.
That's really interesting about how SharePoint can be combined with DevOps practices. I know you have a blog, right? You have a Twitter. I will post that on the video.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thank you very much for the time.
You're welcome.
See you next time.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.